This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9 with me, Melissa Idris, also Sharad Kutan. It's now 7:14 on Tuesday, the 3rd of May, which is also World Press Freedom Day.
Interesting, because we're celebrating what is a very uneven field across the world. In some countries, press freedom is something that's actual. It's in practice. It's supported by legislation, and there's a culture in the public sphere that promotes it. Whereas in many countries, there is no press freedom, or there are limits, severe limits on it. Whether it's a lack of legislation, or there's a political culture that is hostile to open debate and criticality. And it's merely an aspiration. So it's a very uneven field across this world. And I guess today is a day in which we pay special attention to the state of press freedom around the world. It's something we should think about every day, I guess, because the media is ubiquitous. It's everywhere, and it's almost 24/7 in our lives, especially with social media, which is also part, I think, of the story these days. It's not just the establishment press, is it?
But if you're not within the media, it's often something you don't think about. It's something you don't really think about. The need and what goes into ensuring a free press?
Well, I think Malaysia over the last decade and a half Malaysians have had a real lesson in the importance because of the political crisis at the end of the 90s. There's been a huge premium on the free flow of information and discussion that's not biased. And so you could see, the political crisis at the end of the 90s also converged with the emergence of the internet and the internet and usage of the internet. So, we had all these websites that were associated with the outbreak of, rivalries, both in UMNO, but also larger society, right? And with the Reformasi movement. So it's been a very interesting development the last decade and a half for Malaysians, I think, who've been tutored on the importance. And I think you see it also in how traditional media is doing and how it's done commercially, and the failures trials and tribulations of many newspapers, especially those who are marked as being pro-government or biased or uncritical, and they've suffered quite a bit. And in fact, later on this morning, we're going to be speaking to somebody from Utusan Melayu, right? In fact, Dato' Nordin Abbas, Group Managing Director of Utusan Melayu, precisely about those issues and how credibility affects sales. And so I think Malaysians are pretty well up. And I think, but maybe we're not so aware of is some regional trends. And BFM spoke to Ed Legaspi. He is the executive director of the Southeast Asian Press Alliance, or SEPA, about the question of regional trends.
As usual, our region, Southeast Asia, is performing very poorly. But in general, I think, except for a few countries like Japan and South Korea, performance in the Asia-Pacific region is quite poor. If you compare to Europe, of course, there's no comparison because most of the top performing countries in the World Press Freedom Index are in Europe and North America. So there's no comparison. But if you look at other countries like Latin America and Africa, it's a mix. So generally, all these, you might say, third world countries are mixed up in the lower rungs of the Press Freedom Index. But our Press Freedom Index is quite low because there's no culture of press freedom in Southeast Asia, for example, except for maybe three countries, Philippines, Indonesia, and until 2 years ago, Thailand. In 2014, the military took over. And then one of their main areas of suppression is freedom of expression and press freedom. They actually have an order asking media not to criticize the military. In our opinion, it has put them further back than Myanmar in terms of press freedom ranking. Although in RSF, Thailand still ranks higher than Myanmar.
That was Eduardo Legaspi, Executive Director of the Southeast Asian Press Alliance. It's based in Bangkok, but it represents concerns around the region ASEAN. Ed was also referring to those countries where there is a tradition of press freedom. He refers to Philippines, Indonesia, and Thailand until recently. I think he's also talking about the practice, right? There is, in fact, over the years, there's been a push. And Malaysia had it too. If you remember, we just commemorated the death of Said Zahari, mm-hmm. And the Utusan strike of 1961, I believe. Again, that was a high point in the Malaysian press when journalists came out to fight for the distinction between a nationalist press and one that's controlled by a political party, nationalist or otherwise. And so that, unfortunately, was a fight that was lost, and we've had the situation we've had since then. But, nevertheless, I think around the region there is, in fact, a push to increase the space, even though there's and often a pushback from stakeholders, both in government as well as kind of in the industry, because media owners are not always very progressive in their values.
Well, something that Ed Legaspi brought up earlier in his comment was that, you know, it's often third world countries that suffer from the worst rankings when it comes to press freedoms. And I wonder whether that it's just as a democracy matures, it comes with freedom of press.
Well, you know, it's even on the developmental level, right? So you have a country like Singapore that's very high up on the developmental level, it still has a very controlled press. So mm-hmm. Giorgio, when I interviewed him on the Breakfast Grill a week ago, said, you know, it's called the establishment press, and he says, you know, clearly there are problems with that too. We see in Brunei, it's a very rich country, but very low levels of press freedom. So this, I guess, the false promise that development, economic development, will bring a democracy and with it freedom of the press has been unmasked. Now, we turning our attention to the local situation, Gayathri Venkateswaran, she's a local media freedom activist. She also was the former executive director of the Southeast Asian Press Alliance based in Bangkok. And we asked her what progress has been made in terms of advocacy for press freedom in Malaysia.
Well, I think we can be proud of some initiatives that, you know, as public, as a media community have taken over the years, despite the environment in which everyone is operating. And I think that that's actually a testimony to the desire for information, the need for information, with the digital media becoming a very important platform, both for well-established media as well as individuals. I think that everyone took on that opportunity in order to put out information or seek information and where necessary to challenge the establishment because of issues of corruption, political accountability. So I think that Malaysians as a whole have taken on that digital platform in order to say that we are in need of information. We have to revolutionize the way that we're getting information. Many of the media companies have used that. That's really good. The fact that we've had so many portals come up over the last few years, there can never be one too many news outlets, in my viewpoint, because I think that there's so many people who will have different tastes, different choices, different needs. That is something that we can be proud of, to say that over the years, we have seen this growth of information sources and platforms for expression.
That was Gayathri Venkateswaran, a media freedom activist. Now, you know, she pointed out that we can never have too many online news media outlets, but, you know, we're one down this year already.
Yeah, it's not only that. We've also had a culling of journalists in many establishments, media establishments, and that's also not good for the industry. But those reasons might be more commercial than political. I think in the case of the Malaysian Insider, it actually interpreted, I think, largely as a political thing, even though the ostensible reasons were commercial. At any rate, I think coming back to the question of our sense of media literacy and the general awareness of situations. We asked Gayathri also what Malaysians can do to contribute to the cause of press freedom.
I think a couple of things that can be done as individuals to be aware of what these threats are to the media, because really to get a sense that if the media is under threat, we as the public are also under threat. because we are not able to get, you know, free and balanced information, for example. So I think to be aware of where the threats are coming from, what are these restrictions, and making your position actually known. The result is something else. I mean, I think we should not take lightly expression of individual citizens about issues of, say, violations. Support good journalism, that would be the second one. I think we should, where we can subscribe to good journalism. I think it goes a long way to say that good journalism does need to be supported. Journalists work hard. They have to, you know, get some kind of recognition as well. And I think one of the ways that maybe people don't think of is that, you know, you can communicate with shareholders, especially for companies that are public listed. We rarely do this, but I think it's also very important for people who feel the media is under threat. Again, we don't know what the results will be. But I think making it public, some of these positions and these communications will solidify the solidarity with the media. And second, to send a signal that as a public, we don't tolerate the kind of controls or the violations against media and journalists.
That was Gayathri Venkateswaran, a local media freedom activist. And earlier you heard from Ed Legaspi, Executive Director of the Southeast Asian Press Alliance. We're commemorating World Press Freedom Day today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.